This is Forrest Solis interviewing Shannon Campbell on May 27th, 2016 at 3:30 for the Creative Push Project. Okay, so you have two children also?
I have one.
Oh, okay.
One. I mean, you can say two if you want to count my husband, but just one that I've given birth to.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh during that. Okay. Okay, so take us back to the conception. Maybe you build, you know, if you want to talk a little bit about your husband.
So my husband and I have been together since 17 and 18. So right after we graduated from high school, we decided we liked each other, so we started dating. We got married and we graduated from high school in 2004. We got married in 2010. Went to college, did everything in the so-so right way of doing things, I guess. It didn't really matter after the fact. We started talking about having a baby from the time we were teenagers. We didn't want them right away. We had both raised our nieces and nephews, and we were perfectly happy being the awesome aunt and uncle. Like, we took the kids everywhere, and then we got to give them back. It was great. Then he started pushing me, and there was other external circumstances. One of my friends, all my friends were older moms, and they were having issues with their pregnancies, getting pregnant, having issues with birth defects, stuff like that. So I was like, I need to get pregnant. I probably should. I don't want it to be my fault if something's wrong with my child. My husband and I started talking about it, and then I realized I really liked my life, and we were having some serious conversations about getting pregnant and why I didn't want to. And I think it just became, I needed him to reassure me he was ready to, and we were going to do this together, because otherwise I was completely happy and was making money. We were having fun. We were going to Vegas. We were having trips. It was a great life. So let's start to get pregnant. Sounds so easy. I had been on birth control for more than 8 years. So go off birth control. Yay, this is going to be great. We're fine. A year later, nothing's happening. And I'm starting to get worried, and I'm totally blaming myself and my body. And we make an appointment to go down to Phoenix, because up here in Flagstaff, we have no specialists that deal with these issues. Then I realize, and then I got to change jobs. After I changed jobs, I realized how much stress I was under. I was being, and I hate this word, I was being bullied. I hate using it. It's so the word of the day right now, but I really, somebody was getting in my face, and I didn't realize how stressed I was. I was looking at my schedule, seeing if I was going to work with this person, and I found out I was going to get a new job, and I was happy, and I mean, throughout this time, I was doing the ovulation test, and I had taken so many tests to see if I was pregnant that I finally ordered some from China, because they were cheaper, off of eBay. They're probably about 2 cents a piece. I got ordered like 100. I've taken many conception tests, see if I was pregnant, positive, not. So we had to go cheaper because I was spending way too much money on all of this stuff. And then I switched jobs, and I was finally relaxed. And my job is, I'm a nurse. I was a nurse, med-surg floor, and running around. And when I switched jobs, I just was like, what I later found out was my first pregnancy symptom. I didn't know I was pregnant yet. I was peeing a lot. And I just assumed it was because I had time to pee. I was super excited. I was like, oh, you guys get to pee. That's awesome. I don't have to give somebody drugs right now. But it was fun. It took a while to find out I was, because I still didn't think, because after a while taking so many tests, you just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, while I was peeing, I was ready to go down to Phoenix probably in about a week. We had the appointment scheduled for the next week when I found out I was pregnant.
What appointment?
I had a schedule with a specialist, to a fertility specialist. We were going to go down, and Troy was going to get his sperm count tested, and I was going to go see what was going on with my eggs and if it was me. They recommended that we wait at least a year of trying. Without intervention, and about a year, especially at our age, we were mid-20s when we were trying, mid-20s. So they were like, you're healthy, you should be fine. So wait a year until you come down. And by this point, I'm like beating myself up and saying I'm a horrible person and what's wrong with my body. And This is supposed to work. I did everything in the right steps. We dated. We got married. We waited a while. We made money. This was the next step. It didn't happen.
So, when you finally got that test back...
I thought it was lying because it was a cheap 2-cent test. It was the two lines, but it was the little itty-bitty stick. So, I mean, I had the expensive one waiting, so I got the expensive one out that was the digital readout and said pregnant. And I'm like, oh, awesome! I was a nighttime person still at this time, so it was probably like 3 in the morning. My husband and I had just gotten stopped having a conversation about, like, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. And I was, like, so excited. I was, like, I went on Amazon and bought something. My husband's a Cowboy fan. I don't hold that against him. But I went and got little Cowboy baby booties. And I was going to, like, make this big presentation when it came in 2 days because he'd been waiting right along with me. He's not even counting anymore. He's trying to hold it up and be supportive for me because he knows I'm beating myself up. And 15 minutes later, I go into the bedroom and go, look! Oh, well, I just spent $20 on stuff that you're not going to get. And he's like, what is it? He's like trying to wake up. We're pregnant. He's like, and he starts crying. And I'm like, why are you the girl? And I'm like, gender stereotype, stop it. His field is very politically corrected, but it's always been our relationship. He's always the emotional one. I'm always like, look, this is so exciting. He's like, why aren't you happier? And I'm like, I am. What are we going to do now? I don't know. And then we get to totally not tell anybody. I was like, we're going to protect this. This is new. Something has to happen. I mean, it's taken this long. Nothing's going right with pregnancy. So let's take it back. Went to the doctor's office, took urine sample. She told me to go to my OB. They took the blood test and all of that. They're like, oh, you're really pregnant. Because it took less than 2 seconds for the two strips to come up for everybody. I'm like, well, that's a good sign, right? Okay. Then I got to wait for the ultrasound and actually hear the heartbeat. And they're like, everything looks great. I'm like, yay. That's when I actually realized. And I calmed down a bit and was like, let's enjoy this a little bit.
So, how was pregnancy? Was it like...
Pregnancy, I hate telling everybody because pregnancy was fine. The biggest thing was I was always hungry and I still haven't lost the weight 2 years later, but that's fine. I literally would yell at my husband if he didn't have food in his hand on the way in the door. We had some big fights over food. I'm like, you're not presenting me with something, a big buffet to eat? That's the biggest thing after the urine spectacular of peeing every hour went away from the first trimester. First trimester was fabulous, though. Like, no nausea, no vomiting, nothing. I'm like, if I didn't know better, I wouldn't. And if I would have still had a period or spotting, I probably would have been one of those women on didn't know I was pregnant because there's nothing. But second trimester hit, and I just wanted every single type of food there was. We had to keep food out of our apartment because I was just a trash compactor. Anything that could go in my mouth did. Third trimester came. Heartburn hit like nothing else. I thought I had had heartburn before. I eventually ended up having to sit in and sleep in my recliner. I had to be propped up and...
Hold on. Let's wait until the garbage is taken out.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
No, you're fine. So, sitting in my recliner, sleeping. And the reason we had to do that was I actually was starting to aspirate acid from my stomach. I would wake up and it was an alarm, almost. I couldn't breathe. I was burning. Nothing would make the burning go away. Coughing, just excess amount of like mucus coming out of my nose, my eyes, my ears. And the only thing that made it feel better was I would have to like eat like 10 Tums to just get the burning out of my throat because my lungs wouldn't stop burning because I had aspirated it. I had inhaled stomach acid.
Hold on, let's wait. I'm sorry.
No.
There's no way to edit out.
No, you're fine.
Yeah,
maybe I should just glance outside the door and see what's
going on.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Just let me know where I need to start again.
There's no one here.
Yeah, I know that door rings when you enter the other one because they had an issue where somebody was trying to hurt our boss, and there's no way to let you know if somebody's coming in, and she had a threatening letter. So they had to enter, had to put a doorbell in because there's no receptionist at the front of that office, so that's why that doorbell goes off. It's a good reason.
No, yeah. Can okay. you start back at... Yeah.
At what point?
I was aspirating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, sleeping in my reclining chair because I had started to aspirate. I probably aspirated twice before I decided, yeah, sorry, Troy, I can't sleep in the bed. I have to go sleep out there. I am sleeping in the recliner.
Can you tell us what aspirate means?
Yeah, aspirating is inhaling stomach... I was inhaling stomach acid into my lungs. My lungs, and I could feel it go down my lung. I can almost feel as it, I inhaled it, go down the big tube out to the little tubes where your oxygen is absorbed. Like, it literally burnt my entire chest. And the only relief I had was time. The only thing I could do anything about it was take attempts to get the acid out of my throat at least so I could stop. But it would probably, it led to about 15 to 20 minutes of coughing. It scared the living lights out of my husband the first time it happened, and because you can't do anything, you just have to work through it. It's not fun. The reason it happened was my daughter was in a Buddha position sitting straight forward. Her head would nuzzle my stomach. I remember being in the bathtub and I could feel her head right under my rib cage, and there was just no room for anything other than nothing in my stomach. She completely compressed it. So if I was anything other than upright, acid was coming up. I couldn't take enough Tums. I hate the taste of the regular taste of Tums to this point. They're chalk. Don't let me near them. Thank goodness for fruit flavored Tums. I at some point knew at work, I knew where everybody had some Tums. However, if I was awake, I wasn't going to inhale. I mean, gravity was the best thing for me. I had to just stay upright. I think through the course of my pregnancy, I probably inhaled the acid every time I laid down. And I kept trying. I wanted to lay on my pillow so bad. Probably 6 times I did that.
Are there any, like, permanent damage?
I don't think there's permanent damage. However, I know with people that have this as a chronic condition, it definitely, one of the side effects is cancer if you keep doing it, because it changes the molecular structure of your cells. Once they're destroyed, they grow back scar tissue-wise, and it's just not a good thing. So I'll keep an eye on it, but I don't think, because it was such a limited amount of time, I think I'm okay, but we'll never know. You never know.
How was the... like the weight gain and the water
retention,
all that stuff.
Weight gain was fine. I love to eat. All the bread and cheese and everything. Every time I ate, the acid went away. The worst thing for the acid was water. Water made that acid horrible. I loathed water. I drank and I was started to get addicted to Dr. Pepper. I hadn't had caffeine since junior high, and this baby wanted Dr. Pepper. It took me up until a year ago to kick the habit of Dr. Pepper, too. I became addicted to the caffeine and the sugar, and it probably led to the weight gain more than the food did. I didn't really eat that much food because of the acid. However, the food helped the acid. The acid was caused by the food, so there you go. I got really good at what caused it. It was water, which is really weird. I couldn't eat for... I had to plan when I was going to sleep, which is really hard because I work nights. So my schedule was all over the place, and I was walking around the hospital and teaching the new grads and trying to eat whenever I could. But I would get home, and if I chose to eat before I slept, I would have to stay up for at least 3 more hours, and it kind of stunk. I mean, I still had my recliner, but... I would just have to sit there and make sure I couldn't go to sleep yet. I had to make sure I kept myself awake for a certain amount of time, or else I would get myself into trouble, which was scary. Not being able to breathe is absolutely the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. Like, that feeling, I wouldn't wish on anybody.
Did you have a support network?
my family, the closest family I have here besides my husband, is in Parker, which is about 3 hours away. My mother lives 7 hours away, and my mother-in-law is about 14 plus. She lives 2 hours north of San Francisco. So no family. However, I gained a support network as I went. We went to all of those lovely birthing classes. We went to every single one. Troy went to the daddy only one, and we have a whole bunch of friends from this experience that were pregnant at the same time. I remember I was going around doing my education job, and I was like, forgive me, I'm burping, I'm pregnant, sorry. And some awesome lady was like, I'm pregnant too. And she was she wasn't at her 12 weeks, so she didn't want to tell anybody, but she wanted to tell somebody. And because I was pregnant, she felt comfortable enough to tell me. And I just went to her son's two-year birthday 2 weekends ago. And she's probably one of my best friends in Flagstaff, where we live right now, to this day. So we've been able to tell our stories, and we've had very similar stories. We've had some difficulties after the pregnancy that I don't think many people got to have had that experience. But it's been great.
So why don't we move closer to the birth part.
Yeah.
Did you have a birth plan?
So no birth plan. My daughter, like I was saying, sat like a Buddha, straight up and down and facing out the entire pregnancy since we knew what her position was. Head at the stomach, feet at my bladder. I experienced the joys of having to wear a pad because she would river dance every so often on my bladder and it would just go. And then the joys of familial resemblance is how my pediatrician calls it. She has a very large head on top of the fact where it was. I think at our 36, 35-week ultrasound, she was measuring greater than 40 weeks. That combined with her position, I was basically told at that time, I don't really want to move her. If she was going to move and going to flip over, she already would have totally okay with it. I did not want to have her manually flipped around just to have her flip back, because I've seen the bruises on other women. They do it in the OR. It's grotesque. I was like, her head's that big anyways? You're just gonna have a C-section. Okay. Like, that's a really big needle that they have to stick in my back, huh? Yeah. Well, I would have had it either way if I would have gone through labor. Oh, okay. It took me about a week to grasp, but my sister-in-law's a labor and delivery nurse, and she's like, please don't create one, so I never did. I'm completely comfortable going with the flow. However I'm going to get this baby out the healthiest is what we're going to do. I have no problem with it, never did. Then came the really scary part. I had to choose my daughter's birthday. My husband and I were terrified of that. How get to choose somebody's birthday? Who I had to choose her name. Now I have to choose a birthday. It was so bad that my doctor's staring at us. She's like, you want to give us a phone call later? We're like, yeah. And she gave us our schedule of when we could have a baby. Who gets a schedule of when you can have a... Okay. So we decided she wanted to make it a week before her due date. Her due date was May 15th. We chose May 5th. Because May 9th is what we chose. May 9th, because 5 plus 9 was 14, which would have been 2014. So 14-14. And our wedding anniversary is 7-3-10. So we're like, okay, we got a reason, yay! We have a whole story behind her name. We should have a story behind her birthday if we have to choose it. Sounded great. Best laid plans. So we get closer. It's due date. My husband's boss is totally like on me and going, you have to wait till that day. My husband's a hall director at NAU. We live on campus. He needed Troy to work because it's closing of campus. It's the busiest week of the year. So now I have this pressure. Now we have to wait till that day. How do you wait for a baby? So morning of May 4th. May the 4th be with you, which is the funniest thing about it, because my husband has no clue about Star Wars at all. So, of course, we're going to have a baby on May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day. He doesn't even know who Princess Leia is, which I find absolutely hilarious. I wake up, go to the bathroom, just pee, it's fine. Go and pee all the time this time. no room for a bladder. And as I'm standing up from peeing, all of a sudden there's a gush, and I was like, I thought I was done peeing. And then it dawns on me, oh, your water broke. Oh, that was a really nice location for your water break. It's going to break. Toilet? Awesome. Should I wake up Troy? No. Don't wake up the husband. Don't wake up the husband yet. Let's call to see if you should go in. I'm a nurse. I was told if your water breaks, just go in. But hey, why not give labor and delivery a call? So I did. And my OB happened to be already doing a C-section at that moment. She's like, yeah, come in. It'll be great timing. I can do two in a row. So I wake Troy up. We gotta go. He's like, huh? And then he starts repacking our suitcase. It's already packed. He puts it into a bigger suitcase. I'm like, what are you doing? And why are you packing five pairs of shorts? You can go home. I can't. Why is there more stuff? He's like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, let's just go. Please, let's go. And then I went, wait, my mom can't be here. She's coming on Friday. It's not Friday. She can't come. It's just going to be him and I doing this. I'm not going to have anybody. And then I was like, I have him. At least I have him. We'll be okay. It'll be great, actually, because we'll get to spend some time with this brand new creature alone without having the pressures of our moms. And I realized what a gift that was later. I go in, all the paperwork was done, thank goodness. Do an ultrasound, make sure she's still breech. Still breech. There's no moving her. I remember the lady coming in, one of the nurses coming in, with I forget what it's called. It's the little plastic thing that they're going to put under my microscope to make sure my water broke. I'm like, you're funny. I can tell. And they lift up the blanket and like, oh, no, that's a gross rupture of membranes. We don't need this test. I'm like, I told you. Okay. And then that nurse left because, of course, I have to be the typical nurse that comes in at change of shift. So I get introduced to a whole brand new nurse, and she looks at me. We need to start an IV and start having a conversation. Oh, you're a nurse? We're going to have the special person come in because I can't hit a vein on a nurse. Like, you can try once. I don't care. We have really big veins when we're pregnant. Remember that from nursing school. I'm not an L&D nurse. Don't ask me ever to deliver a baby. But that's the one thing I do remember about having babies from nursing school. We've got big veins. Try on a pregnant lady. Okay. So the other IV specialist comes in, and he is super annoyed that he has to come in because he sees these big juicy veins on me, and he knows I work there, so he starts complaining to me. And I'm like, not the right time, buddy. Just get it in. Like, I'm having this happy moment, and to have somebody come in that's so negative, I couldn't believe it. And I know him, and That's all I had to say about that because he was in and out, and it was fine. It was all better. Then my day nurse comes in and says, hi, we're going to go right now. Right now, right now? I don't have more time. I don't want to go have my baby. Okay, let's go. And then came, you're going to go walk. You forget. I had a gross rupture of membranes. You want me to walk down this hallway dripping on the floor? I told this to my nurse, and she's like, oh, we're used to it. I'm like, I'm not used to dripping on a floor of my bodily fluids. She's like, you want to wear a pad? I'm like, yes, please. And my husband and I were walking, and he had to stay there. And I wasn't ready to let him go, and I couldn't believe they were making me do this by myself. I am walking barefoot into this cold OR, have to sit down, and then the anesthesiologist, she introduces herself to me, and I'm like, she's like, are you nervous? I'm like, I'm very nervous, and why isn't my husband in here yet? He doesn't come in until right before we're about to cut. And I'm like, what? Okay, let's be strong. Let's get our thoughts back together. Let's focus on it. She's like, oh, you've got great anatomy. I'm like, great anatomy for what? She's like, for the spinal. I'm like, that's great. Cool. She's like, okay, hold still. And I'm holding on to this lady that I just met 10 minutes ago to put in this huge needle in my back. Very painless. It was a little bit of a prick. It worked fabulously. Then they start putting me back, and I get so nauseous. And I look over to the left at the anesthesiologist, and I'm like, I'm going to throw up. Probably a little bit because I just realized how much I was shaking from the adrenaline and how nervous I was. Scary, scary, scary thing for me to get the spinal. It was the only thing I was really worried about. She's like, Zofran, yes please, Zofran. Pushes it into my fabulous IV that the grumpy man gave me, and it worked like a charm. I lay down, they put the curtains up, do all their things, just white and this light above me, and cool, I can't move or feel anything. Where's my husband? Still not here. My OB comes in, whoever's assisting her comes in. I remember her introducing me, but I don't know. And they start everything, and finally I hear my husband come in, and she's like, oh great!